You are listening to www.infinitesmile.org. Today we have another edition of Michael McAllister's Commuter Zen. We hope you enjoy it. Hello and thank you for tuning in today. I should start off by saying in the last couple of weeks, the site infinitesmile.org has enjoyed a rather extensive number of hits. We're getting nearly 700 hits a day from upwards of 50 countries at this. Actually, excuse me. No, my tally was wrong. That's a 20. We're at about 24 different countries, and each and every continent, with the exception of Antarctica. There is no Buddha Dharma in Antarctica, it looks like. But to whatever extent you have helped in spreading this teaching, I certainly think it's wonderful, and I'm humbled by the whole experience and deeply appreciative. So, thank you very much. I wanted to address a topic that I found quite interesting. This is from one of our listeners in the Netherlands. I would also like to say, while I'm thinking of it, that please keep the questions coming. You can email me at michael@infinitesmile.org. That's a quite simple way to do it. If you go to the website, my address is there as well. Any questions pertaining to the Dharma, pertaining to practice, pertaining to whatever it is that you like, I would be happy to entertain. I, of course, cannot promise that I can answer your question with any degree of skill, but I can sure give it a shot. Our question from our friend in the Netherlands reads, it's actually an extensive email that I'm not going to read the entire thing, but he asks about religion, and in relationship to the Pope's death, it brought up a lot of stuff for him and others, I'm sure. His question relates to writings that I have done over the last year or so and posted on the site, and I'm just going to read you a chunk here what he says. He says, it seems like religions tend to build their entire foundations on seeking. If, Michael, as you say, seeking gets in the way of incorporating spirit into our lives, can today's religions even have the capacity to help us in actually finding our way to awakening? I love this question, and I think it asks some, there's some layers to it, but I think it's profound, and I think it's also a way that many of us could actually gain an insight into this entire process of awakening. To begin with, just to clarify, if we look at any type of spirit, any type of apprehension, I should say, of spirit, any type of enlightenment, any type of meeting with God or that which is holy, if we look at it as something that we need to seek outside of our own present moment experience, we can look at that act of seeking as being interestingly egotistical. In other words, by seeking we look at spirit as somehow being separate from us. We look at awakening as somehow being separate from us, something that we need to reach for, something that we need to grasp, something that if we can be blessed with the grace of an awakening, that we need to embrace and not let go. Well, if awakening is something we embrace and refuse to actually let go of it, we actually defile it. And this gets confusing for practitioners. We could say this another way, and that is, if you see yourself as somehow separate from God, or see yourself as somehow separate from the universe, you have just defined separation. You've just defined the separate self-sense, which is ego. Ego will always perceive itself as separate from all things. And awakening comes as we meet all things as an expression of the deep singularity. And from that knowing, from that apprehension of the deep singularity, from that realization and that felt sense of the deep singularity, we bring that back and embody it as compassionate activity. So this ascent towards the deep singularity just as this move back to the great multitude of form with the knowing, with a capital K, the unattached comprehension, if you will, of the deep singularity. When we do that, we become, in Buddhist terms, a bodhisattva. We become helpful in the day-to-day. So seeking precisely is what gets us into trouble in many respects. Instead of reaching out, the move is actually to release. Rather than grasping for something to save us, we literally relax and take a step back from our grasping. We don't avert. Aversion is another form of grasping. Aversion is just grasping at something other than what is offered. Okay, so they're actually both the same move. Reaching after or avoiding are both forms of grasping. And this grasping is exactly what gets in the way of awakening. It is exactly what keeps us thinking that we are somehow separate from spirit. Now we'll take the question to the next level. How do we incorporate spirit, this unfolding, how do we incorporate this into our day-to-day lives in relationship to the wisdom traditions that we see around the world? Whether you are a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, or a Buddhist, we are all looking to climb the same mountain, metaphorically. We are all on separate paths up the same mountain. And until we can recognize that these paths and the mountain are actually one and the same, we will forever be at war with each other. And this applies to not only the collectivized versions of faith, but also individualized, or rather egoic, positions that are held by individuals around the world. We are at war as long as we are adhering to our felt sense of separation. And religions can do a good job of actually reifying this sense of separation, especially when they get fundamental. Now, religions are just a collectivized form of ego in many respects. And so just as an ego can attach and always act from a position of defensiveness, just as egos can always feel like they are being attacked and they become more and more rigid, more and more aggressive, religions can do exactly the same thing, because they are merely collectivized forms of what we experience on a personal level. So if religions are collectivizing and codifying a set of rules, becoming dogmatic, becoming rigid, they then set themselves up for not only enduring pain, but also inflicting it. Although religions are particularly skillful at doing this, they are also skillful at being incredibly helpful. One of the things, if we look at the Catholic Church, for instance, that the Pope was able to do, was he was able to quite simply stand for the poor, stand for the disenfranchised, stand for those that were downtrodden. And in that capacity, the Church was incredibly helpful. And other wisdom traditions, other churches, other institutions of faith tend to do that well also. What they don't tend to do well is articulate a view that goes precisely beyond the bounds of both time and mind. If they did that, what they would be doing is essentially opening up the doors to their institutions and saying, it all works. Ours is no better than anyone else's. Once that happens, the religion itself, just like ego itself, becomes incredibly vulnerable. And so this would explain in really, really basic terms why it doesn't happen. Yet at the same time, there are a tremendous number of spiritual seekers, as it were, who can recognize this reality immediately. So what are we to do with this? How are we going to incorporate what we see in the contemporary world in relationship to religions as we move ahead? Is it possible to evolve from this place? I think that religions, like I've said, have a lot to offer us in developing a closer relationship with our spiritual nature. But I also think that we are in a very interesting time, and over the next several years, I think we're in for some pretty challenging experiences in relationship to this question. And as this era of questioning heats up, especially with the Pope's death, we should also watch very carefully in order not to get caught in anyone's fires of passion. Can we have the strength to be open to people who are closed to us? Can we be even open to ourselves? Can we be open to our own attachments? Can we be open to others' attachments? That questioning, can we be open? Can we be open? Can I be open? Do I have the strength to be open? If we let that inform us, it fundamentally alters the way we face the world. So with that strength, we are able to watch our attachments. And when we can watch our attachments, when we can be that watcher, when we can be that silent observer of our own attachments, we will continually evolve. We will continually awaken. On the subject of this evolution, I think it's important to recognize that evolution or expansion is something that happens to us and others, whether our egos want them to or not. The universe itself is expanding. We, by definition, are part of the universe. There's no reason to assume that we ourselves, whether we like it or not, aren't expanding on some level. Neither the external nor the internal cosmos is going to stop expanding just because our small selves are attaching. The divine flow continues no matter what. Whether or not we allow for ourselves or our traditions to consciously participate in this expansive flow is what really gets tricky. So since attachment is what gets in the way of establishing any one or any group in the enlightened perspective, we shouldn't count on religions to truly transform us. They do an amazing job of translating the mystery of life for us, but they can often hold us there. And in holding us in that place, they disallow for us to transform. So we can definitely count on religions to translate our circumstance for a while and make us feel better about things, make our egos feel better about things. But they most likely will have trouble helping us transform into any type of being that can embody an enlightened view. Something that will allow us to live instead of a circumstantial life. We live something that we might call an ultimate life, or one that is in full recognition of spirit. So as we sit today, in our cubicle, or in our car, on the train, in the plane, wherever it is we find ourselves, can we actually look to open? Can we be open to others being closed to us? Can we allow for that to happen? Do we have that courage? Because if we do, we are actually looking up from the path that we tread. The path leads up the same mountain as every other wisdom tradition. But if we can look from where our steps are going and see the mountain itself, we are actually affording ourselves an opportunity of direct connectivity with spirit. We are tilling the soil, as it were, that will allow every other being that we run into, especially those that cause us stress, cause us pain, those that generate difficulty for us, become the most significant teachers. And by that I mean they sprinkle seeds of enlightened understanding all around the field that we are tilling. And sowing these seeds allows for a bloom to occur as long as we tend to them. And the way we tend to them is by watching our experience with our full attention in every single moment. This is a deep opening. This is a relaxing into an open awareness. And this relaxation into an open awareness that is right here, right now, always and forever, allows then for peace to inform our activity, for expansion to cultivate peace, for openness to generate a structure for expansion. And to that end, I wish all of you an open day. I wish all of you expansion. Thank you for joining us. For more information about either the Infinite Smile Sangha or Michael McAllister, check out our website at www.infinitesmile.org.